I love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions. This is John Drennan with Bill Radford, and this is the podcast following the 17th game, 18th week of the NFL season, where the Lions defeated the Chicago Bears for the second time this year. They won it 19-16. We're a little bit late here. This is Friday following the Sunday game. I was actually in Puerto Rico with some family and was not able to figure out any way to watch the game. So I was watching it on my phone in terms of the plays and the progress. And we ended up going to a restaurant. And Bill, we walk in and there's the Lions and Bears on the TV. It turned out the manager of the restaurant was from Chicago and he was a Bears fan. So I got to pretty much watch that second half and just returned home last night. So we're, again, a little bit late here. And I know you're under the weather here up there in Nova Scotia. So, folks, bear with us here as we do this last game podcast. And, Bill, you and I, all year long, we picked the Lions every single game. One game you picked them to lose against the Ravens early in the year. And then all the other games, you and I picked the Lions. But this game, we both picked the Bears. I'm pleased that the Lions beat them. You know, the NFC North winners, the Lions beat twice. Their only two wins in the division. What a
topsy-turvy
crazy. Yeah, so what are your thoughts coming off that Bears game?
Well, I was glad that they won. You know, I was thinking beforehand, if they lose, that's going to help with the draft order, but I just can't be for them to lose. And there's first time in, I forget how many years, they've had four straight winning seasons, but it's been a long time. So, and as I look back at the 9-8 season, I'm thinking, man, just a couple of plays here and there, and they could easily be 11-6 and go into the playoffs. And although I am a huge Dan Campbell fan, I have to say some of his decisions, play calling, et cetera, in some of the games contributed mightily to where they ended up. And he even gave himself an F for his grade for the season. Now that's his typical, either it's strategic or it's humble or a combination of both, but I don't think he was an F, but you know, I'd have given him an A for the last 2 years. This year would have been maybe a C or C minus. So, but I was glad to see him come out and play hard and beat the division winners again on their home field. There was some questionable play calling again that you and I were discussing during the game. And I remember at one point I said, if they lose, this is all on Campbell. And you said, absolutely. Especially the play call where they're moving the ball down the field. They had third and one and they tried a trick play where they're going to pass to the quarterback. That was, to me, was inexplicable. Because it didn't work.
And it stopped the clock.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bill, you know, that game, as you mentioned, it was played in Chicago, and the Bears did have reason to win that game. And you and I both picked the Bears. But then, real interesting here, I do want to share this real quick because – you know, the Lions kind of walloped them. The Lions had 433 yards against the Bears, 270. Lions had 311 passing yards, Bears, 205. Lions, 122 rushing yards, Bears, 65. Lions, 6 yards a play, Bears, 5.2. Lions, 26 first downs, Bears, 16. Lions had 6 of 13 third down conversions, Bears 4 of 11. Lions ran 20 more plays than the Bears. And then finally, up comes a stat that favored the Bears. They had three sacks. Lions only had one. Bears punted four times, Lions twice. Penalties about the same. And
So how is the game that close?
yeah, right. Bears get two TDs and they get the 2-point conversions on both of them. Lions, four field goals. So Lions weren't great in the red zone.
No, that's right. The last one was the game winner, but the first two, at least, they had the ball deep in Bears territory. And there's just something off this year. That last year, those, man, if they had a first down inside the 10-yard line, it was almost automatic.
And Bill, let's think about this. Lions win 19-16 and kick four field goals. There have been games early in the year they would have gone for it, not made it, and they lose 16-10. And we'd
Right.
be saying if they'd have just kicked the damn field goals, they'd have won the game. So.
Right. Well, I'm glad they kicked him when they did. I'm just saying they struggled in the red zone this year.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Philadelphia game for sure. Five times they went for it on fourth down. And one of those is a fake punt. But I still think they have a lot of really good players. I think I told you this is before you left for Puerto Rico. Or maybe while you were there, I sent you a stat with all of the Lions players that were in the top 3 to 5 in offensive categories. And a couple of defensive players that were in the top five, Hutchinson and Campbell being a couple of them. And you said, yeah, they're loaded with studs. And so when a team's loaded like that with that much talent and they only go 9-8, something's amiss. Excuse me.
Yeah, and pretty much everybody that follows NFL agrees with that. You know, this team just didn't click, and I was glad they won, Bill. I'm glad they finished 9-8 versus 8-9, you know, winning season. That carries some momentum, and you know, these guys are competitors. I love that they came out, competed, handed the Bears a bigger loss statistically than point wise, and in a way, to me that says, okay, we beat the NFC North winner twice. So, who's the real studs at the top of the NFC over the last 3 years? And it's the Detroit Lions. So, let's dig into what they need to do now that the season's over. Let's just have a conversation with the rest of the NFL world that's having it. And I do want to reflect on what you said. I was so perturbed by Campbell's play calling that almost lost that game. You know,
Yeah.
you gave the one example, and then later they threw it a couple times when they were in a position to just burn the clock and. Both incomplete, three in a row actually, incompletes. Clock kept running. Anyhow, they were fortunate to come out of that with a win in spite of the stats. So we agree Dan Campbell shouldn't be calling the plays. Not that he can't, but we think other things have been missed with him doing that. And he wasn't a good play caller. And Johnny Moe's been fired. So the hunt is on for a new OC, Bill, new offensive coordinator. And before this Zoom, you and I both agreed Mike McDaniels, who just got fired by the Dolphins, would be a great offensive coordinator. And there's a lot of chatter out there in the media that they've already reached out to him.
Yeah, he's got the reputation for having a brilliant offensive mind, and if he wants to be a head coach again, being a Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator would be a good first step toward that. Might be all it took. So, I would love to see that. I don't know. I hear Washington is in the mix for that as well. They have Jaden Daniels as their quarterback, and yeah, it's topsy-turvy. It was unbelievable that John Harbaugh got fired. I guess not unbelievable, but surprising that John Harbaugh got fired after being so successful over 18 years. I think he had like 180 wins versus 103 losses. So he's averaging about 10-6 every season. And one Super Bowl championship, although it was a long time ago. I've also heard Mike McCarthy being considered for the offensive coordinator, as well as David Blough, which is formerly a backup quarterback for the Lions. I'm least excited about him. Of course, maybe he'd do the best job, but he's never done it before, and I'd rather have somebody that has some experience on the NFL level calling plays.
Well, another name is Brian Daboll, who used to be an OC one time with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, and another time I think he was with the Broncos or some other team as an OC. And of course was the Giants coach. In fact, Bill, if I'm recall, he won Coach of the Year in 2022 when we thought Dan Campbell should have won because the
Yeah.
Giants had a good year.
That coach of the year can be a curse.
Yeah. Apparently, he and Campbell are pretty good friends, and that one could make sense. But this is a big, this will be a big hire. And, you know, if you are an offensive minded OC looking at a team, I think one question you're going to ask is okay, who are their offensive weapons? Well,
Detroit's loaded.
holy cow. You or I would love to go to have that role.
We'd probably get fired, though.
True.
I would say Goff is top two or three in every category as a quarterback. And I don't understand some of these fan sites that think we need to get rid of him. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and Bill, I hope you and I attract a little bit more sophisticated Detroit Lions listeners, and if we got anyone listening who just thinks we'll never win with Goff, we got to get rid of him. Come on, give us a break. No. What we need to do is shore up the O line, be consistently good on defense, and go win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Same thing.
Yeah.
Some people are thinking, well, we got to get rid of Campbell and Holmes. You know, Holmes didn't get us the players. Campbell, folks, no. No, back up. Slow down. Take a pill. No, they got the right folks in there. We just need to, there were issues this year, and those issues need to be dealt with. Offensive coordinator, offensive line. It's better depth on the defensive line. They got to strengthen their defensive backfield. You know, they got work to do, but they can get it done. And I'm already excited for next year, not even knowing what the changes are.
Well, I want to be excited. I guess I am excited. Just still disappointed over this season. Can't believe we're going to have playoff weekend and the Lions aren't part of it.
Yeah, I don't know if you or our listeners had a chance to hear Brad Holmes' press conference just the other day. And if not, you can find it on the Lions app or YouTube. And It's pretty insightful into the mind of Brad Holmes.
Well, it's been 53 years since the Lions had four consecutive winning seasons.
That's right.
So, that's, I mean, if we would have said 4 years ago, we're going to win, have a winning season 4 years in a row, we would have been thrilled.
Yeah, and Bill, the standard and expectation now is the Detroit Lions get into the playoffs. And that's a huge disappointment by everybody from Sheila Hamp down, every fan that they didn't. But I love that standard. And that's why Campbell gave himself an F. That's why Brad Holmes agreed with it, because not making the playoffs is unacceptable. But as you said 5 years ago, it's like, could we please sneak in there one of these years?
So did can't did Holmes give Campbell an F?
He said he agreed with it because the standard is get into. He said, I'm not going to get into, was it a D, D minus? He said the standard's getting the playoffs. So yeah, I understand why he said that. That was what Brad said.
Yeah, well, I would even say this, the standard isn't get in the playoffs. I think at the beginning of the year, we would have thought that was a given.
Right.
The standard would have been playing in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, well, I think they're saying the bar, the minimum bar, you get in the
Right.
playoffs. The goal's the Super Bowl. They're all clear on that. Whereas 5 years ago, yeah, it's a goal of every team, but you can't win a Super Bowl if you're not in the playoffs. So they've now set a bar that we, Detroit Lions, need to be a playoff team. And they didn't do it, so.
Yeah, well, I think the play caller will help a lot. Just some consistency with that. Until we beat the Bears, we hadn't beaten a good team in a long time.
That's right.
I
Well, we
mean,
lost three in a row there, Bill. Well, of course, the Rams, we knew that was going to be a real tough one. But losing to Pittsburgh and Minnesota, either of those, we win and we're in the playoffs. I mean, it's.
well, presumably, but the Packers didn't have to win their last game, and they didn't try. So if we win one of those, that Jordan Love is going to play in weeks 18. So it's possible we wouldn't have made it anyway. But if we won both of them, we would have won the division. Think about that.
Yeah.
That horrible call. That the Lions experienced in the Pittsburgh game when they called Tesla for offensive pass interference, and all of the analysts far and wide said that was a terrible call. That would have been, excuse me, game-winning touchdown. And then I really think that if they win that game, that they show up much tougher against the Vikings. And even that game was one or two plays and they win, but
With six turnovers. I mean, just
yeah.
just awful.
So they were on the cusp, as many problems as they had, of being in the playoffs. And once you're in, anything can happen, especially if you win the division, you have a home game. So
Well, Bill, what excites me is, in spite of their inconsistencies and losses we feel they never should have had and injuries and everything else, they're 9-8. They're on the cusp, as you said. And I think everybody in that building, based on all the interviews and things I listened to, They all feel their playoff, their Super Bowl caliber with some tweaks. Let's look at the tweaks. The big question mark, their offensive coordinator's been fired, so they're going to bring someone new in, hopefully someone great there. Bill, quick look at the roster. Good chance we won't have Anzalone next year, so we'll need a linebacker there. Good chance Marcus Davenport will be gone. Taylor Decker, good chance he'll retire. These are where maybe some holes are. Graham Glasgow, we don't know if he'll be back, just age and injuries. We brought in some new guys this year to support the D line, like Tyler Lacey, probably won't be here, but Roy Lopez really contributed. Alin McNeil, even though he came back this year, he wasn't close to where he could be next year when he's fully recovered. There's talk of David Montgomery not being back, even though I think they want him back and he wants to be back. That might just be a money thing. I'm just looking. Good chance DJ Reader won't be back. Question on Amik Robertson. These are guys who are up for new contracts and things like that. Dan Skipper probably won't be back. And that all leads to, okay, that opens the door for some new folks coming in. And Bill, I'm looking right now at our injured reserve. Brian Branch, hopefully in a year he can be back at close to being who he was this year. We needed a backup tackle, Jamarco Jones. He was out all year with an injury. He could have been a decent backup. Kirby Joseph, hopefully in a year he can be back. Sam Laporta, same thing. Giovanni Manu, I know he was a project, but he's getting better and hopefully he becomes a true tackle. Ennis Rakestraw hurt his first 2 years, but if he can get back to why they drafted him, Brock Wright. And then Josh Pascal didn't play a down this year, and Levi Alzariki didn't play a down. Will those guys be back? They both would have really helped the D line. So a lot of potential guys coming back and a lot of room for new people coming in, I think.
Yeah, Holmes is going to have to do heck of a job in the free agent market, also with the draft. But we're drafting in the middle again of the first round, and you don't usually get premium picks in the middle of the first round. Although every once in a while there's a diamond in the rough that ends up shining sooner than you thought he would. And but I think the free agency is going to have to lead the way in terms of filling some of those spots this year.
Well, Bill, I have been diving in a little bit, and one of their big needs will be a tackle. Whether Decker's here or not, he's been so injury prone, and they need to get him replaced. They need depth there, and I think at 17th pick, there are enough premium tackles that they could get one. They also need a center, but they are, I think, considering moving Ratledge to center because they feel like he's got the potential to be a real stud. That might be an option. There's also a lot of chatter of the Ravens center hitting free agency. He's one of the best in the NFL. He's only about 26 years old. If the Lions could get him, that would immediately anchor the center position. I think that's what they need, a stud tackle and stud center. I think they got two stud guards, and they got Frazier, who's didn't play till the end of the year, but he's a potential young stud. And
They have Sewell.
well, yeah, he's a lock, and I think their guards, Ratliff, if he stays at guard, Montgomery, I'm sorry, not Montgomery, left guard, Mahogany. Those guys are studs. They're young.
Yeah, Mahogany's an oak.
Yeah,
That took you.
he's a
That
bowler.
took you a second.
He's a bully.
So it sounds to me like one of those guards is gone. You can't remember his name right now.
The Lion Guards?
Yeah.
I think the ones they want to keep are here. Ratledge and Mahogany and Frazier.
So, you had some PFF grades you wanted to.
Oh, you and I were talking. I don't have the grades from the Bears game, but this is interesting. For the season of players that played at least five games offensively, the best, let me go fifth best with Jared Goff. And as you said earlier, he was in the top three or so in many statistics. He's a top quarterback. Number four was Sam Laporta. We realized how much we missed him when he went down as a blocker and pass catcher, but he had the fourth highest PFF. Jahmyr Gibbs, total all-pro stud, third best. St. Brown, by the way, Bill, St. Brown finished the game, season with a huge game against the Bears. He had about 140 yards receiving, and he's got all kinds of records. I think he's got the most receptions in history for a receiver in his first five seasons collectively. So he was number two PFF at close to 90, but Penei Sewell, 95 plus, highest of all the players, second highest of all the players. Hutch came in at somewhere around 91. So Hutchins, you look at, Bill, start of the year, I just kept yakking about the roster. But, Sewell's as good as there is. Hutch is as good as there is. Gibbs is as good as there is. Jack Campbell's as good as there is. St. Brown's as good as there is. Brian Branch is when healthy. We can just keep playing that game.
Right. So how are we out of the playoffs?
Yeah. Well, Branch isn't playing. Laporta's not playing. Arnold's not playing. Joseph's not playing. Got young guys on the offensive line that didn't gel. Offensive coordinator blow up. So I think there's several reasons, but I think they're all fixable.
Yeah, I would say that everybody that listens to us knows that we both really like Dan Campbell, but one comment that I heard it first from a good friend of mine, but then I've read it and heard it from other analysts, is it seemed like Campbell was trying to coach last year's team.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't make the adjustment to this year's team and this year's team's weaknesses, evidenced by how many times he went on fourth down. He started in the last game, he didn't, and we kicked four field goals and won the game by three. But I think that scenario could have repeated itself two or three times during the season in games that if we just took the points, we would have won the games.
Yeah, I think our coaching costs us a couple games this year that you wouldn't necessarily say about other good teams. I mean, not all, I mean, all coaches have their flaws and make mistakes, but I think ours really cost us a couple games this year, and that you can't have that.
And if we're 11-6, we win the division.
Right. But again, it's fixable, and I do think Brad Holmes and yeah, I heard Brad being interviewed about, well, okay, what's Sheila Hamp kind of where, what's her take on what happened this year? And goes, well, it's no different than mine. We screwed up. We need to be in the playoffs. We're here to win a Super Bowl. That's what Sheila Hamp wants. Well, that's no one wants that more than Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. So they're gonna step back and take a look and fix. I just trust that. Not based on this year. I trust it based on 5 years of receipts to look at.
Well, you say nobody wants it more. I think John and Bill want it more.
Well, the fans collectively want it more. Sure.
We were Lions fans. Not sure how old Brad Holmes is, but I'm guessing we were Lions fans before he was born.
Well, we've been Lions fans since before there was a Super Bowl. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Hanks.
So, go ahead.
Well, since Lions aren't in it, want to take a look at the games coming up and just you and I make some picks, not scores, but just want to go down the games and see if we can pick a few of these right.
Sure. Well, we start off on Saturday. The first game is the Rams are at the Panthers. I remember the Panthers beat the Rams in Carolina by 3. That was Stafford's worst game. He threw a pick six and fumbled on the last drive. Rams are favored 10.5. We're not going to go by the spread. We're just picking a winner. So who do you got?
Rams for sure, no question.
Yeah, me too. Then the next game is the Packers are at the Bears. The Packers are actually favored by 1.5, which, usually if the teams are even, then the home team is favored by 3. So the fact that the Packers are favored at all is a little surprising. Who do you have there?
I find this to be a real close one, and I'm going to say the Bears. Two reasons primarily. They're back in Soldier Field, and the Packers have been so beat up. Bears have been
Yeah,
relatively healthy, I think.
I'm picking the Packers. And Jordan Love is going to be back. Their running back is going to be back. And just the history of the two teams is the Packers have owned the Bears for the last several years.
Well, one of us is going to get that one right.
Yeah. Okay, the Bills are at the Jaguars. Jaguars are favored by 1.5.
I like the Bills in that one. I think at the start of the year, I thought Bills are a good shot at the AFC Super Bowl team this year, and I think they're good. Even though they haven't played, they've been a little like the Lions this year, in my opinion, not as good as certainly, I thought they would be, but I'm picking the Bills.
I am as well. So then the next game is the 49ers are at the Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 5.5, which is surprising to me.
This to me is the toughest one to pick. My brain says Eagles. But I'm going with the 49ers.
So am I. I just think the Eagles this year have shown the propensity to cough them up. I think the Eagles are in the playoffs because they're in a horrible division. I mean, the Giants, the Commanders, and the Cowboys, all three are very bad teams this year.
Yeah, and the Eagles have been very vulnerable this year in almost every game.
And then the last one on Sunday is the Chargers are at the Patriots. Patriots are favored 3.5.
Earlier in the year, I would have said Chargers, but the Patriots have continued to win and prove themselves. I'm saying Patriots.
Yeah, and I am too. And
There is one more game.
then the last game is on Monday night. Houston are 3-point favorites over the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
I think that Houston defense gives Pittsburgh fits and wins.
Yeah, I mentioned to you before we came on here that Pittsburgh has never lost a Monday night game. But I think they're going to lose this one.
Yeah, and I'd find stats like that interesting, but irrelevant. Like, okay. Well, that has no bearing on this one, but it is interesting that stat. You know, they've played a few of them as a given
Yeah,
the.
well, we kind of lean on them when it favors our team, though. Like going into this year, we've had a fabulous record in primetime games.
Oh yeah, you search for everything you can. You wear the same socks, yeah, it's like we kept holding on. Lions have never lost two in a row since 2022, and then they lose three in a row.
So,
Well,
well,
we picked the same ones except that what one? Bills or no? You picked the Packers. I picked the Bears.
right. I hope the Bears win.
I think it'd be cool if the Bears got to the Super Bowl and the Lions could say, well, we beat them twice.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting, beat them very early in the season and at the very end. So, two different, very significant points of the season.
So, I would like to see the Bills in the Super Bowl, and I'm looking to see, is there an NFC team that has not ever won?
No.
No. Who's got the bye in the NFC?
Denver
Seattle.
Broncos.
Seattle in the NFC.
Oh, I'm sorry, Seattle. Yeah, and Denver in the
Right.
AFC.
So the only team that, well, the Bills haven't won, the Jaguars haven't won, the Chargers have not won, and the Texans haven't won. So there's a bunch of AFC teams that haven't won, but I guess the Panthers haven't won, but I have very little hope that they'll get past the first game.
Well, Bill, you want to put out your projection of what two teams meet up in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Seattle and Buffalo.
I think it's going to be Buffalo and the Rams.
All right. My only hesitancy with the Rams is they don't get a home field game. They're going East Coast, and basically, unless, yeah, I don't know. The only way they get a home game is that the 49ers and the Packers both won. And we predicted that, so they might.
Well, and if the Rams make it to the Super Bowl, it's not a home game, but it's a California game.
Yeah.
49ers would love to be in that one, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would. Everybody was thinking they were one of the best teams until that game with Seattle, and they got stomped.
Well, Bill,
I think
what do you.
Seattle's the best team.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't even mention Denver and best record. The thing about this year, I can look at every one of these teams and say they could be in the Super Bowl. Now, unlikely for the Panthers and unlikely for the Packers and the Eagles, but it's been such a crazy season. Nothing would surprise me this year.
Yeah, well,
Like
the
the
Panthers would
surprise.
surprise me.
Yeah, but like the surprises we've gotten all season. If it was Panthers are what? They're in the NFC. If it was Panthers and Steelers, yeah, that'd surprise me a lot.
Excuse me.
But Bill, this is a season where John Harbaugh's fired.
Yeah.
The Giants coach got fired. The Dolphins coach got fired. Who's the obvious other ones? Oh, Atlanta. I was really surprised their coach
I
got.
was too. Giants coach got fired.
Yeah, I mentioned them.
Excuse me.
The up Titans, did they fire their coach again?
I didn't pay any attention to the Titans this year.
Yeah. Feel like there's another. Oh, Cowboys? No, they didn't fire theirs.
Well, this is his
Wow.
first year. Schottenheimer. Jerry fired Micah Parsons.
Right. All right, well, for our listeners, Bill, we're going to continue this throughout the off season. Probably take a break for a few weeks a little bit later in 2026, but there's so much news going on with the first of all, you got the coaching staff turnover, and it's going to be a big deal for the Lions to figure out their coaching staff. They could lose some of their assistants and then have other holes to replace. And then, news like, will Decker announce retirement, or will we hear good or bad news on injuries? And will there be some free agent movement and then some trades in the draft? And so it's going to be an exciting several months leading up to when they start to come together in the late spring and summer.
Yep. Well, we'll see you all next week
We will.
after the first round of the playoffs, and we'll have our not expert predictions for the next.
We're going to pay attention, folks. So if you like listening, keep coming on. We'll be paying attention. We'll be bringing information and updates, and hope you're enjoying the podcast, and we're going to keep it going. Remember, we're longtime fans who started this podcast to follow the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. It wasn't in the 2026 Super Bowl year. Maybe it will be for the 2027 Super Bowl. But with that, Bill, it's been really awesome doing this with you throughout this season. Look forward to continuing.
Same here, John. Really appreciate you.
Likewise. All right, secondhand Lions fans or podcast here, folks. Take care. We'll be back in a week. Bye for now.
I know.